This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. Plant-based diets are becoming increasingly popular as concerns about health and the environment have grown, with many meat substitute products hitting the grocery store shelves. What is it like being in this game, and how do you compete with the crowd? I have Alex Ward, COO of NextGen, a plant-based food tech company, on the line with me to discuss that and more.
So my name's Alex. I'm based in Singapore, and I'm the COO of NextGen Foods. We are a Singapore-based food tech startup, founded by two people, one from the German schnitzel business, who set up a plant-based meat company about 8 years ago, built it up to be the leader in Germany with nationwide distribution, sold it very successfully and made some money and put some of that money into founding NextGen with a co-founder who was from the chicken distribution business, food distribution business, and it was born about 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. So we have one brand, it's Tyndall, it's chicken made from plants, and we're in the process of taking that global at the moment.
Very exciting. You know, this market is growing really rapidly, right? Veganism, plant-based diets are, I don't want to call it a trend, it's a growing lifestyle, right? But Southeast Asia is pretty meat-driven, so what kind of market are you sort of expecting here?
You know, Southeast Asia is very meat-driven. People love eating meat, and as the GDP grows, as the disposable income grows, people are eating more and more meat, actually. The total meat market in Southeast Asia is about $100 billion. This is huge. So our target is not only vegans and vegetarians, but we are making products suitable for them. But our target is really the $100 billion meat market, and we're trying to take a share of that. We want to give people, for everybody, flexitarians included, an alternative that tastes amazing, where they don't have to compromise on what they like to eat, they don't have to compromise on what they like to cook. We want to give them a really tasty, nutritious alternative that's a bit better for them and definitely better for the planet.
So essentially, your competition is less so other plant-based products, it's chicken itself, it's the meat itself.
Absolutely. 100%. Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's essentially how you're marketing that, I guess, as an alternative to chicken. And there's a sort of concept or misconception, I guess, with substitute meat that it's not going to taste as good. It's not going to, you know, cook the same way, you know, but this is the idea, right? That this is supposed to function in essentially the same way.
Exactly right. I mean, Tyndall Thigh, which is the first product under the Tyndall brand, is a one for one replacement for chicken. So we looked at chicken and what people love about it and what people crave about it and why is it the biggest meat in Southeast Asia. And we broke it down. We discovered three things. So one is people love the taste of it. One is they love the texture of it. And one is they love the versatility of it. You can really use it across the board in so many different culinary applications. So when we looked at it like that, we then found out that there were ways to recreate the taste by making chicken fat with only ingredients from plants. It's possible, and we've done it. We found out that we can recreate the texture of chicken, and we use soy protein as the source. Why do we use soy? Because at the moment, it has the best supply chain, it has the best cost, and it texturizes the best to closely mimic the fibers, the things that people like about meat. And then the third one is about the versatility. So people love to cook with it and use it in all of these different dishes. So we started working with chefs. We included chefs in how we built the product and then in how we market the product. So we're just selling it to restaurants first. We want chefs to use it, show people what good looks like in using a plant-based chicken using Tyndall. And then we expect the market to grow from there once people have had a chance to try it.
So how long was the R&D process for Tyndall specifically?
We first showed a chef in Singapore 18 months ago in a Ziploc bag with no name, nothing, just some dough that looked and smelled like chicken. And this particular chef tried it and loved it. So to get to that point, took our CTO, who has 20 years experience I would say 20 years of experience to develop this product and to develop it well. But we took it from that first prototype to a global distributed product in the last 18 months.
Fantastic. And I also love that you, as you mentioned, you are including chefs who need that experience to work with these sorts of products and to be able to show people the full potential of what you can do with a product like this. So that's really interesting as well. While you are primarily in direct competition with chicken itself, there are a lot of locally based, mock meat or meat substitutes that are already available within the Southeast Asian market. So, what exactly is the USP, I guess, for Tyndall?
I think coming back to what I said earlier about the taste and the texture and the versatility, I mean, some people try Tyndall for the first time and say things like, I can't believe it's not chicken. I don't hear people say that about the commonly available mock meats on the market. These meats were designed for the vegans of the world initially. We're designing a meat for the meat eaters of the world, and they are very fussy, very particular consumers. So we have to have a product that is really comparable in terms of texture and taste and culinary versatility. So I think we stand proud when we're compared directly to chicken on all of those fronts, and it's something that we take very seriously, put a lot of time into.
And then on the other hand as well, you also have some very well established Western products that are also meat substitutes. You've got Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods as well that are in that vein, right? So how does that compare?
They have taken a beef first approach, and Impossible and Beyond have very different starting materials. One is pea and one is soy, but they're both competing in the beef space, in the beef patty space specifically. We're not in that space at all. We are starting with chicken, which is the biggest consumed meat in Southeast Asia. So on that front, I don't see it as competition. Actually, we see it as just growing the category, building awareness for an alternative protein choice, and getting consumers open to trying things and ideally going into restaurants and asking for them. We would love people to go into a restaurant in KL and say, can I have a Tyndall burger, please? And when the brand is synonymous with the product, then I think from a marketing point of view, you've really cracked it. We're not there yet, but that's our goal. Mm-hmm. When you look at Impossible and Beyond, and they've launched some chicken products in the United States, they're going with a nugget or tender first, right, which is a coated breaded product. Our lead product is Tyndall Thigh, which is a one for one for a chicken thigh that has this versatility that chefs are loving. And it gives them choice, which chefs always like to have when they're creating something new.
Right. Now, of course, we can't talk about this product idea without price, because you have this sort of sliding scale of price when it comes to meat substitutes on the market at the moment. You've got, as you mentioned, the, I guess, more common or more widely found mock meats that are found in typical Asian vegan cuisine that are relatively cheap, mass produced, that sort of thing. Then you've got on the other side of things, the exported or imported goods, like Beyond, like Impossible, right? So where does Tyndall fall within the spectrum?
Look, we're more expensive than the traditional mock meats that you talk about, for good reason, because we have some nutrition in there, whereas they don't often. They taste okay sometimes, but they're made with ingredients that are not inherently nutritious. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the other players on the beef side, we will never be more expensive than them. We sort of park ourselves next to premium chicken at the moment in terms of a cost per kilo. But the thing that's interesting with Tyndall and other plant-based meats is that you get a better yield. So when you cook it, you lose less water. So actually more of what you pay for ends up on the plate than when you cook chicken, which actually loses a lot of its weight because of the water loss when you cook it. So in terms of creating value, actually we're on par with a premium chicken. There's always cheap meat available. It's one of the challenges of the global meat industry, because it's so huge. But at the end of the day, when we can scale up, we can have local manufacturing, which is something we're absolutely looking at. It's critical to get your local supply chain to bring your prices down, to make it as affordable as possible for everyone, because only then are you going to have a real impact from a sustainability point of view, from a, you know, from a consumer health point of view. So we're very focused on making it affordable as fast as we can.
And you also mentioned that there are some nutrients involved, which, you know, traditionally, I guess the more commonly found mock meat is, I think, even though I was thinking very gluten, very flour-based, so it's primarily a lot of empty, you know, carbs and things like that. So tell me a little bit about that, you know, how that was even done. How have you managed to create this substitute that still has some form of nutritional value, I suppose?
Yeah. I mean, if you compare a Tyndall to a piece of chicken, it has 17 grams of protein. There is no cholesterol. It has less fat. It has more fiber. The quality of soy and the protein quality of soy is similar to meat. It's not exactly the same as meat, but from a sort of protein quality, amino acid quality, from a digestibility point of view, it's very similar. And in 100 grams of Tyndall, you get 17 grams of high quality protein. So look, overall, we're very happy with the nutritional profile of the product. And we are confident when we say that it is nutritious and it's good for people.
Fantastic. All right. We're going to take a short break, but after that, we'll be speaking about how Tyndall is eyeing a US market entry, as well as some plans for some funding as well. So do stay tuned to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Brewing frothy mocha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and I have Alex Ward, COO of NextGen, which is a plant-based food tech company, on the line with me to discuss their primary product, which is called Tyndall. It's a plant-based meat substitute for chicken specifically. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about how they're marketing it, you know, the process of the R&D there, you know, what's it made of, and also how they're sort of placing it against actual chicken in direct competition. But now I do want to talk a little bit about some exciting plans that NextGen has. So it is my understanding that you guys are currently eyeing a US market entry as well. So tell me a little bit about that. You know, you mentioned that you're based in Singapore and you are expanding, you know, throughout Southeast Asia a little bit. But why jump straight to the US here?
The US is simply the biggest plant-based meat market in the world. It's the most established, it has the greatest distribution network, it is on the most number of menus across the nation, and it's becoming widely accepted by American consumers. So we launched in Singapore, then Hong Kong and Macau. We're coming into KL soon, and then we went to Dubai and the UAE to a great response. But these markets are not going to be enough to sustain the ambitious plans that we have. And so the US is really key for us, followed by Europe. This is where the volume will be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're working now on our go-to-market strategy in North America, and we plan to be available across the nation by the middle of next year.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, with this level of expansion comes funding as well. And, you know, you actually had the largest seed round for a plant-based food tech company. Initially, it was at $10 million, and then you have an extended seed round for $20 million. So this is $30 million in total. Mm. I mean, tell me a little bit about this whole process and this experience and, you know, why do you need this massive amount and how are you going to use this towards the market entry here?
So interesting question. Thank you. So the 30 million, the 10 million was the largest seed round ever in a plant-based company. And then we extended it to 30 million. So yeah. It's very much the largest seed round for a plant-based company anywhere in the world, which is something that we're proud of. Our business model is quite unique. We are spending money on building products. So we're building an R&D center in Singapore, and we need money for that. This will be looking at fundamental protein research, ingredient interactions, new technology to texturize proteins, so that we can really create meat products from plants, which are accepted or even preferred by consumers around the world. So we need money for that. The other thing we do is build brands. And building brands requires research, it requires insights, it requires working with creative agencies. And we work with the best ones that we can find. It doesn't matter where in the world they are. You know, we built this company during COVID. We launched the company in 6 countries during COVID. We are the epitome of working remotely. And it's going super well. And we have no reason to change that. So we're not spending a lot on offices or factories or distribution ourselves. We're working only with co-manufacturing partners and distribution partners. So very asset light. So this money is going into our expansion into the US. It's going into our expansion into Europe to build the network, build the products, and build the brand.
And what kind of investors were involved with this funding process?
So the lead investor was Temasek, who's the, you know, the investment arm of the Singapore government. We're very lucky to have them on board. They don't often come into a company at such an early stage, but they did with us, which we're very proud of and grateful for. We then have the EDB, the Economic Development Board of Singapore, K3 Ventures, and we were very intentional in choosing investors. We were lucky that we had a lot of interest, but not only have money, but also are high value add organizations for our business. And they are proving to be very value adding high value, let's say, as we start to scale and as we start to grow.
I mean, this also includes, you know, China-based agriculture and food tech venture fund, BitsX Bytes. It includes Yu Hyap Seng as well, which, of course, is a leading Asian food and beverage player with a pretty strong presence in the plant-based dairy space as well. So, you know, it's not just about, you know, getting the funding from, to put it crudely, wherever you can get it, but specifically looking at people who can actually support you and organizations who can support you in this aim overall as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very much looking for people that are coming in for the right reasons. We want people that are, we want smart investors. We want people that are genuinely trying to do good for the planet and want to invest in companies that have a, you know, are, that are mission aligned with that.
Now, I do want to ask you a couple of questions a little bit about the future of sort of plant-based food and products in general as well, because as we touched on, you know, in the beginning of our chat, this is becoming a growing lifestyle for a lot of people. And, you know, I think during the pandemic as well, there was a lot more focus on cooking at home and, you know, not necessarily eating out so much. Do you think that the pandemic affected, you know, the popularity of the plant-based diet?
I think a lot of this, a lot of these products are launched in restaurants first. But I think it has slowed the growth. It certainly slowed our growth a little bit because people couldn't go out to restaurants as much. And I think just from a consumer point of view, maybe they're more likely to try new things when they're out and about, when they're sitting at home and they're ordering in. They want something familiar and comforting, would be my gut feel. So I think that the growth has probably been a bit affected by that in our launch cities in Singapore and Hong Kong. But as things open up and people are out and about more and people are getting influenced by the chefs and the menus and the dishes that they see, that we're expecting a strong trial. If we look just at what happened in Dubai, everywhere from the top floor of the Burj down to the coolest beach clubs, people were trying Tyndall everywhere. And the chefs truly, truly loved it. We saw incredible variety of dishes, of things being used. So I think that there's a long way to go for everybody. But, you know, the U.S. is a little bit more open at the moment, so we're expecting the pickup there to be very strong.
And am I correct in saying that the long-term intention is to also then port these products over to B2C as well, not just B2B?
Yeah, absolutely. We will have retail products, but, you know, we're trying to build the brand first. We want chefs to build a great product experience when people try it for the first time. We have developed a value-added range of coated breaded products that are much easier to cook So if a chef wants a one-for-one replacement, they can marinate, they can cook, they can coat, they can grill, fry, whatever they want, they can have that. If they want something they can just heat up or cook quickly, that's also possible. And this means that we're going to compete in these famous chicken sandwich wars in the United States. And that's something that we're looking forward to and excited about.
That is very, very exciting. Now, a final question for you is what are the general plans for the future of NextGen? Firstly, for the rest of the year, and then secondly, for, you know, beyond?
So the rest of this year, we are expanding our footprint in Asia. We're building a go-to-market strategy in the markets where we're not currently present, and getting ready for our launch in the US. So we have very strong partners in North America, both on the distribution side, on the marketing side. We're building a team there now of marketing people and sales people. And that's really where our focus is for the rest of the year. And finalizing the supply chain of these new value-added products that are going to be in hot demand in the US. So that's it for next year, for this year. And then I'll say next year, we'll really be trying to take on and build a leadership position. We want to be the go-to plant-based chicken burger or plant-based chicken product in the United States. We want people going in asking for a Tyndall burger. And then we'll go to Europe too. So I think by the end of next year, we should have a very strong presence and be the number one in the US and in Europe.
Well, that's really exciting. And I'm also really looking forward to whenever Tyndall makes its way over here to KL as well, because I'm honestly very personally excited to hopefully give it a try in the near future. But thank you very much, Alex, for speaking to me all about Tyndall and NextGen today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
You've been listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Alex Ward, COO of NextGen, a plant-based food tech company, all about their primary product, Tyndall, which is a meat substitute for chicken. If you have missed any of today's interview, you can go ahead and download our app. It's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to bfm.my and listen to the podcast there. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.